Blog Talk Radio.
Already, here we are, Sunday night, OTMC Live, and you've got me, Getch, of Occupy Radio, sitting in the co-pilot seat, Sue Sierra Lupe of Occupy Medical and Real Herbalism Radio. Howdy do, Sue.
Hello.
Anything you want to say about life in the trenches at Occupy Medical?
Yes, today, Sunday, is standard Occupy Medical Day, free clinic downtown the park blocks, and it was, I think it was National Diabetes Awareness Day, as far as I could tell. What we have in downtown Eugene is the city turned off its water a while ago to prevent freezing, which hasn't really been an issue here, although it's supposed to go below freezing tonight. And that means that all the unhoused people have been without water. And if you have dehydration, then your blood glucose levels will go up. And we had two patients, who, when we tested their capillary blood glucose levels, it was above 550. Now, for a little bit of reality check, you're trying to get 70 to maybe 140, depending on how long ago it was that you ate. So 150 is only 50 points away from a diabetic coma.
Tough times on the streets, and we're going to have to dig into that a little bit more as the show goes on. We are running a little short of our normal voices. I don't know what happened to Dan Marks of ArticleV.org, but hopefully we'll hear from him before the show gets too far along. But in the meantime, we'll just wing it and see what comes up in the
phone's ringing, dude.
You know, I kind of feel like I gotta respect
it. Gotta answer that.
So here we are, just starting OTMC Live this week, and we got somebody on the line. I already know who it is. This is all just art and theater. Gorgeous Greg of Occupy the Microphone. Hey, welcome to OTMC.
Hey, y'all.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, Sue. I wanted to thank you for what you're doing there with is it Occupy Medicine? Is that what it's
called? Occupy
Medical.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're very welcome.
I want to throw an idea out at you, and I think this is something, and I realize this has profound religious overtones, which may be a problem for some folks. But I know that you were talking about diabetes. I know that whenever I go to see my doctor, there are signs up all over the place about diabetes. So obviously this is a real serious problem. And I know that one of the ways that diabetes can be diagnosed is or evaluated is, and I don't know how this works, so I guess I'm asking you, is through looking at a person's seat. And it seems to me that, you know, you've seen these stories about barbers setting up in a public space and trimming homeless people's hair for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost wonder if just a public foot washing for the homeless.
What a coincidence.
Oh, is this something that's already happened?
Oh, that's one of the things. That's one of the things I did all day, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. How did that work?
It was super. It's something we started doing. It's part of our wound care clinic. The mm-hmm. clinic itself is like a MASH unit that sets up every Sunday. So we have a bus that pulls in, and then we set up three large garage tents. One of them is intake and haircuts. So that's been a service for the last 3 years. And then the other one is hospitality, in which we feed between 100 to 150 people. We also have hygiene supplies, toothbrushes, tampons, condoms, et cetera, that we give out. Everything's given away. No, there's no charge for anything. And then the other tent is wound care, and the primary part of it is that we're doing foot soaks, and we're doing it herbal. So we're soaking people's feet because we treat a lot of trench foot in the summer and in the spring and fall, and then in the winter we're dealing with frostbite. So those are huge, that it's life-saving foot issues that we're dealing with, because, of course, the other part of it is the diabetes, and we're looking at diabetic ulcers that people were in the hospital for, but the doctors there said there's nothing we can do other than a skin graft, and because your diabetes is so out of control, we're just waiting for amputation, which sometimes happens. But at clinic, because we're an integrated health clinic and we also use herbs, fortunately, herbs is one of the things that deals with wounds best. So we've gone from people that have diabetic ulcers on their legs, in which you can see their tendons and their bones. You could stick your fist through that wound. And the doctor, even our doctor's like, I don't think there's anything we can do for that guy. But the medical system had already given this person up, to having it small enough that, you know, you could probably stick a finger in within 2 weeks. I mean, it's that quick. It's that quick. So clearly the foot care and dealing with diabetes are integrated, and it's part of our service for the unhoused. But it's not just for the unhoused. We're also seeing a lot of people that have huge, their legs are just swollen and lumpy, and sure, the tissue is coming off. And I won't get too graphic about it, but it is disheartening to see, particularly on the legs of our vets and people that have some weight problems or, you know, housed or unhoused. So that is something that we feel we obviously have to keep treating, because it is so successful. Did I talk your ear off?
No. I want to ask one other question. I'm going to hush up and let guests take back the show. is this something that just regular, I mean, not necessarily the diagnostic type thing that someone who's got a medical background can do, but the basics, is this something that could be taught to just anyone who is interested and willing to help?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certain sections of it in which, you know, we've got pre-med students that are helping with the foot clinic, and it's a nurse run. The wound care part is nurse run. We also have the doctors and nurse practitioners that come in and check out some of our trickier patients. But some folks just come in just for the foot care. They'll just get a foot soak. Sometimes we'll put Epsom salts in there, or tea tree, or lavender. Or we have people that have addiction issues, and one of the ways that they're helping get control of it is by that foot soaking, because it helps them calm down. They get so stressed out by their addiction. So, and we're, of course, teaching people how to do this. The herbal compound that we use is a specific blend that helps regrow the tissues, and it's antiseptic and antibacterial. So, and everything is stuff that people can get for very cheap just from going to any kind of natural grocery or places where they sell herbs in bulk. And a lot of stuff is stuff that you can just grow in your garden. So we're trying to make public health something that is accessible. And, yeah, the foot care thing, I mean, there are times when I can just look at somebody in the way they're walking and go, oh, let's check out his blood glucose. That looks suspicious. And then, you know, you have a suspicion, and then you get the science behind it by checking their levels and looking at their record, and there you go. It's yeah, absolutely.
Well, we all know how good it feels to come home from a long day at work and take your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't have a place to take your shoes off, that's a hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on the street, a lot of folks, they get their shoes stolen. Socks,
sure.
You know, if you're feeling like you want to give something away to someone begging at the corner, give them socks. You're
absolutely.
The hero. You're
socks
absolutely
are gold.
Hero. They are gold. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I can confirm that.
Yeah. That's one of our rescue packs that we give out. We put them together in our Occupy Medical warehouse, quote unquote, and it has socks, water in the winter, since that's such a huge issue, a little first aid kit, some food, high protein food, and a huge variety of things, lip balm and toothbrush, toothpaste, survival wear.
Now, I heard you mentioning condoms and tampons, and I just want to ask, I mean, don't you realize that if you do this, this is just going to encourage women to menstruate?
Yeah, you're right. In fact, what you've noticed is they've been menstruating monthly. And I have myself to blame. Until they get to a certain age and then they get lazy about it. So I don't know. We'll have to rethink that. Yeah.
All right.
Well, once again, I just want to thank you for doing that that really valuable work, and I hope that other occupiers in other places are able to,
pick up,
make similar contributions where they can.
Yeah, we do demonstration clinics every year in different parts of our state because we're trying to encourage people to vote for universal health care, and the only way we know how to do it is just by showing what the patient will experience, how that universal health care changes the contact that you have with your healthcare provider from a top down, this is what you will do, to a conversation. It's fascinating the way that changes. And you kind of have to experience to understand it. But the bottom line, instead of we'll give you all the healthcare you can afford, it turns into you deserve healthcare.
You get all the healthcare you need instead of you can afford.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we've changed it and it's healthy and we're getting new volunteers all the time because they're excited to see this in process. And other states need to do this as well. So we had the benefit of taking advantage of the fact that we started out just as a first aid tent at Occupy Eugene, but we just couldn't watch people go away. So we became a clinic. And other places, they're thinking that we're just doing a free healthcare clinic, and it's not like that. We have the political bent as well. And we don't let up. So that's one of the other things. And the integrated healthcare part of it is another piece that we are very adamant about because it heals. So, I'm sorry if some people have issues with that, but sorry, science backs it up and we will continue to do it. And our people want it and it's healing them. So there you have it.
Well, I'm not going to assume that you're suggesting that chamomile tea cures lung cancer.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Common sense,
yeah, I can't imagine how many people, if they just thought instead of chemotherapy to drink chamomile tea, why don't they go there? Because obviously one cup of sleepy time is going to take care of that. No, I mean, there's real science behind all of this stuff, and that's what the shame is that people don't do their research about it.
But if we could just compress chamomile tea and load it into some kind of high-energy device and shoot it directly into our skin cells.
Yeah, maybe if we added something that was also toxic, like nitrous or something
like
that,
uh-huh.
Then that would even be better, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully somebody...
Well, that's what it takes to get $1,600 a dose.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting that people who they're selling drugs, that the way that you get the most money is off of cancer patients. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And creepy.
Well, desperation is a good profit margin.
You're right.
Do either of y'all, I'm going to relate this back to what Sue was saying about herbal medications and such being effective. Do either of you ever drink a product called kefir?
Kefir? No, our kids have been into that one.
It's a fermented milk drink.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm allergic to milk, so I don't do any of that stuff.
Well, it converts the sugar in milk,
mm-hmm.
lactose,
mm-hmm.
into alcohol. It's very, very, the alcohol content is so mild you'd have to drink a swimming pool full of it to catch a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it does. Now, check this out. If you want to boost the alcohol or increase the activity of the SCOBY that creates the kefir, mm-hmm. you can add sugar. But you know what happens if you add honey?
What?
It kills it.
Hmm.
Why? Because honey is antibacterial, is it not?
Well, yes. Yep, that makes sense. It is.
So, I mean, when people think, I think sometimes people think, like you were saying, Sue, that this stuff is not based in science, but it really and truly is. Honey literally is. If you have a cut, you can literally smear honey on it, and it will protect that cut from infection.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
ordinary honey.
Yeah, well, you know, back in 1946, herbal medicine was not based in science. So back then, that was absolutely correct. But now, you know, we've got the American Pharmaceutical Association sending out books, tomes about the different herbal products and the research behind it. And before, they were the ones that were bandstanding and saying, hey, man, that stuff doesn't work. It's you know, these herbal products are sold all over the place. And some of them are better than others, obviously. But, you know, I don't think that the market tells you true. But I do think it's interesting to see that the FDA has finally picked up the ball and has decided that plants have chemicals and chemicals have an effect. Ta-da! Wow, big shock. So it's just a matter of checking that out and doing the math and you know, balancing out some of these outrageous claims that you see, for instance, on Dr. Oz. You know, he seems to just kind of make stuff up, or some of these other shenanigans that are being pulled by people. That stuff has got to stop because it does nobody any good. So I say occupy herbal medicine.
Right, right. But we don't want to occupy all of OTMC Live with herbal medicine this week.
Why not?
Just because I'm an ogre and a tyrant. As you're well aware.
With a phone number, right?
That's right.
So tell us about where the stuff where you are. Where are you? What's your city? Do you get to talk about that?
Oh, I'm in Simpsonville, South Carolina, which is just outside of Greenville, South Carolina. Our radio program is broadcast from a studio in Greenville, South Carolina, but it's not broadcast into Greenville, South Carolina. It's broadcast into Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That is complicated.
So it is. It is. Basically, what it amounts to is we the studio is in one county, the tower is in another county. So the tower broadcasts into Spartanburg County and Cherokee County next door to it. So we broadcast, the signal goes out to about a quarter of a million residents, and then of course all the traffic going up and down the various roads. And we've been doing it for, we actually got started on September 3rd of 2011, so just a few weeks before Occupy got started.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that's great. Now, we should, I don't know if you've mentioned this, Greg, but you're talking about Occupy the Microphone. And so
yes,
you were occupying before anybody else was occupying. Was that the name of your show back then?
No. No, initially it was the Daisy Deadhead Show, and it was named after the star of the show, Daisy Deadhead.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran that from September of 2011 through to December of 2012, and then took a month off and went to a radio station, another radio station with a bigger footprint, and went from Saturday mornings to Tuesday afternoons. And when the owner of that radio station sold the radio station airtime to another business, I complained and long and loud on Twitter at the owner of the radio station, and he finally negotiated with me, and we went from once a week to once a day.
Wow!
And so we had an hour radio show from 5 to 6 every day, and wrapped that up after a year when another company came along and once again wanted to purchase that airtime, but they honored the contract to the end, so I have no complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to once a week now.
Okay.
Right. So you were doing 5 days a week right up until about November of last year, weren't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. Everyone who's listening understands, I'm sure, that when you hear Rush Limbaugh on radio or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or even Ed Schultz or whoever else you want to consider part of the progressive media, these people have all got at least dozens of people behind them. When you hear Getch and Sue and me and Daisy and Double A and Mike Check Radio and so on, you're talking at, probably at best, even the biggest shows like Silvertopia and such, you're kind of talking like four people working on these things at the most.
That's right.
And it makes a big difference when you want to put a quality program together, at least something that's interesting and entertaining, and you've only got three or four people working on that project to do that day in and day out. It's a hell of an undertaking.
And then
to have to pay for the programming and sell any advertising to generate revenue to bring back income to help pay for the programming, I think it's yeoman's work, and I'm so grateful to the people who are creating blogs and zines and podcasts and things like this, because you know the revolution will not be televised, but it might be on the radio.
Yeah, no kidding. It's the last frontier.
You know, I think the way to go is public radio stations, because we've been on KWVA for Occupy Radio for, we're going into our fourth year now, so we've been on the air for 3 years, and we don't have to pay for our airtime. Air Occupy, they've got to pay for their airtime at, I think, 1360 in Ormond Beach, Florida. And, and there you guys are having to cough up cash to do it. So I think the way to go is find yourself a university radio station and see if they'll get you onto their radio schedule.
Well, don't they control what you say?
Well, they do control, but the FCC regulations are going to get you for live radio wherever you're broadcasting.
No swearing.
No swearing and all that kind of stuff. It's just on public radio, you also can't ask people to send you money.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, though, that in South Carolina, where I live, there is the only radio station in the entire state that plays Democracy Now! Is Low Power FM station in Greenville.
Oh.
Now, we have a good working relationship with the woman who runs that Low Power FM radio station, but we haven't been able to negotiate terms to make, you know, something really good happen there. To faculty or staff at the university and said that she had been sexually abused from the age of 8 by her brother. And after confiding this to the people at the university, was told that she needed to look into her soul and evaluate what role she played in all of this, and to find to offer forgiveness and to ask for forgiveness. There was no talk whatsoever of going to police, no talk whatsoever of getting therapy for the student, etc. So when you live in a community where that kind of backward thinking can still elect members to the city council, the county council, the state legislature, etc., it's hard to envision anyone giving people like us an opportunity to speak our mind without paying for it.
Yeah. So did they take her out and stone her afterwards?
No.
No.
No, but there was talk of making her marry her brother. Yes.
Oh, yeah, right on. That's good for South Carolina. Yeah.
But it's been very exciting, there are a lot of people who are doing more and more of this independent media, and I think we even see, you listen to some of these comics, some of these comedians on their podcasts, and you can tell how liberated they feel, because they don't have to toe, you know, even a commercial interest line.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's a wide open broadband spectrum where you can say what you want and not be concerned with who likes it and who doesn't and who's going to pay for it and who's not. You know, I mean, it'd be nice to get money, but that's not necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I was listening the other day, and I think I heard that that the national daily news broadcasts are, which I realize is national, and it's, there's, you know, like four of them, the Fox, NBC, ABC, and CBS, but the national nighttime broadcasts of the daily news are getting like 6.5 million viewers per channel.
It's a lot.
Just a few. Yeah. But some of these podcasts are getting like WTF. I mean, it's not a political show, but those guys are getting like 500,000 downloads an episode.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dan Carlin, he's out of Eugene, Oregon. He gets somewhere in that range. 400,000 is the last number I heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
yeah,
that's
humongous.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to bring Dan Marks in. You guys can keep talking.
Oh, please do. I'll punch him.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Oh, I can talk while you get Dan.
Yeah, but you.
Hey,
I
can talk too. I usually listen.
Uh oh.
Oh, shoot. So who do we have here?
I think I know who we have here.
I heard listening. Who's that guy? He said listening, and I just got text. I have auto text on.
Uh huh. And then when you hear the word listening, you know you got to chime in. Is that it? Is this Jim Jones?
No, that's optional. It's optional.
Calling in is optional. Interrupting is optional. Is that what you're saying?
I'm always on the line.
Being Jim Jones is optional.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, it's getting
hard. I heard listening to the news, and I said, ha-ha, what news? My news?
My news?
I tell Brian Williams what to say.
Oh, so you're kind of like...
I'm what they say is called the independent source, you know, independent media. I like to think of myself as the independent media. I tell all the people what to say.
Okay, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? Oh, it sounds like Jim Jones, our own private NSA agent, has broken into the phone call. Is that the case? Is that who we're talking with here?
Yes, this is Jimmy Jones.
Oh, Jimmy. We're on a much more casual basis here now, Jimmy. All right, well, you guys all chat. Actually, no, I'm going to have us end the live part of the show, and we're going to connect with Dan Marks in the zombie half of the show. So here's what we're going to be talking about in the zombie half of the show, though. We haven't touched upon. I want to talk about Bill O'Reilly. There was a mention of Brian Williams, and now Bill O'Reilly has some similar kind of tidbits from his past raising its ugly head with him. So we could talk about that. The town of Pasco, Washington is still not settled after the shooting of Antonio Zambrano Montez. I want to talk about that in the zombie half of the show. And there's Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is in a key position to be able to stop the TPP from heading towards fast track. And it's starting to sound like he is not going to exercise that position and not stop fast track from happening. So we might all want to be putting a little bit of pressure on Ron Wyden.
I believe in him.
That's good. That is beautiful. Sue believes in Ron Wyden.
I believe in
lovely.
Him, too.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do, Mr. Jones. So I'm gonna start us out of the live segment, and I want everybody to know that we've got Sue Sierra Lupe, Occupy Medical, Real Herbalism Radio. I'm David Getchy, Sierra Lupe, otherwise known as Getch, Occupy Radio. Gorgeous Greg Jacoy of Occupy the Microphone, and our own private winky, sneaky secret agent Jim Jones, and we'll catch you on the undead half of the show.
If your TV's on, I'm listening.
All right. Welcome to the zombie half of OTMC Live. And everybody managed to cross that line with us. So we still have the same Gabby group of occupiers. And I need you guys to gab it up a bit while I try to bring Dan Marks into the show. You got your choice.
Dan Marks didn't jump the broom?
He did not jump the broom. No, we got to bring him in now. And you know what, Greg? You also were bringing up something about Kaspersky just before the show. And that's a really interesting subject. And I'd like to kind of explore that if you're interested.
Well, sure. I mean, it's a really complicated thing, and I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. We've all been made aware of the kind of spying that our government has been doing on its citizens and other citizens around the world since Edward Snowden made his revelations. In every few weeks, it seems like we learn new stuff about what's been going on. And one of the things that has been discovered, it's not related to Edward Snowden, has been discovered by a company called Kaspersky, and they're an antivirus company. And as they were evaluating some data, they stumbled upon, more or less, a program that they didn't specifically identify as being an NSA program, but it looks to me, you know, it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. And this program basically, this project has been used to put viruses into the BIOS, the firmware, the stuff that literally turns a computer on when you push the button. It's the basic core stuff that makes everything else in the computer work.
It's the
and
stuff
by putting
that you
it in,
don't replace when you install a clean system. You don't touch the BIOS
exactly.
When you install a clean system.
Exactly. And every company that creates BIOSes, and that stands for Basic Input Output System, the companies that create, they write this stuff themselves, and each of them is individual. But the government has apparently either demanded this information from some of these companies or stolen it from some of these companies. And this is part of how they've been able to put back doors into computers, et cetera. And the things that concern me, besides all the privacy issues, are, number one, we know that if the United States government can accomplish this, it's not the only government with the resources to do something like this. And number two, there are companies and organizations that have potentially the financial wherewithal to hire people to do the same kind of stuff. So how do we know that our banking system is anywhere close to safe? How can we have confidence that money invested in things like stocks and bonds won't disappear into a keystroke someday done by someone with malicious intent against the United States? And how come Japan's less concerned about Sony being hacked than we are?
I'm not concerned about
North Korea.
Yeah. I was thinking we might have somebody on the line who could tell us some of those answers. Hey, and we have Dan Marks on the line, too. I recognize
you. I'm not concerned at all.
I'm afraid.
No, but Jim Jones, our own personal NSA guy.
Oh, okay. Yes, but I cannot.
You cannot. You have you now?
Aloha, by the way.
Aloha. Are you
we
now?
We can neither deny nor confirm that.
I'm sorry, I missed your question.
That's all right. I was going to ask you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I was going to go for some kind of McCarthy question, line of questioning, but we don't have to go there. But what you're saying?
I do have shame.
Have you no shame? I guess you have shame. So all right.
Check.
So in other words, Kaspersky actually is doing something good and discovered something that we all need to know about. And it appears to be some dark, sinister snooping by our government.
And Israel.
I missed the
right, they do seem to be involved in it as well. Well, you know, it's the sort of thing to a certain extent that you kind of, you know, hope the government is doing, because this does give them an opportunity to break into the stuff that's being done by folks that I hope all of us would consider to be the bad guys. And in this particular case, for example, they would say infect a website with malicious software, which would then infect the computer of someone who visited the website. But they would set it up so that it was specifically targeted to hit individuals. Not everyone who visited the website would get this virus. Well, that to me is a positive sign, because that means maybe our intelligence agencies have decided that they need to stop looking at frickin' everybody and start looking at specific people instead.
You know, we've had...
We don't look at everybody. I mean, in past shows, I've clearly said we do not spy on Sue.
I will take your word for it.
And I can speak directly for Kaspersky, saying that we did not spy. We did not do that on Kaspersky. If you pronounce Kaspersky, what do you think of? Russian. It's Russians. And that's exactly why we need this spying. As he said, your guest, you know, we got to go after the bad guys. So we got to go after all these, you know, preventative measures. And very patriotic.
Well, you know, I will not deny. I mean, I'm not stupid. I don't think any of us are. I will not deny that when I saw that and I saw that it did in fact come from Kaspersky, yes, I did say that's a Russian company based in Russia.
That's right.
But this was an article that was at Ars Technica. This is not something that was at Truthout or Huffington Post. This is at a technical website run by technical people for technical people.
Yeah, it's also in the New York Times.
You know, since you bring up these alternative news sources, I have to say, I saw someone share something on Facebook recently, and I believe they were talking about the government being able to get into our computers through the outlet, the power outlet in our wall, and I
the
thought
electric
that
electric system.
Well,
right.
I have heard of different systems where you can network your house using your electrical system. So it's not that far-fetched, I would think, that the state could also sneak in on those same lines.
Tiny cameras come into the light bulbs in your house and spy on you.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that cynicism? Jump on the paranoia bandwagon, Sue.
Well, the article at Ars Technica said that lots of organizations will set up a computer that is physically next to another computer, but the first computer is not connected to the internet and the second computer is. So the idea is the computer which is not connected to the internet can't get a computer virus. But according to this article in Ars Technica, they may have developed a system that would allow the connected computer to communicate with the unconnected computer using the microphone and the speakers. And at levels of volume and sound that we can't hear. So, hey, I'm not, you know, yes, conspiracy, you can go crazy with conspiracy, but we do know that MKUltra was real. We do know that the United States military put U.S. soldiers out in the field and exploded nuclear weapons over their heads without telling them what was going on to see what would happen. So we know our government is more than happy to do all kinds of horrible things to its citizens to accomplish its goals.
Hey, yeah, okay, as long as we're jumping into it. Yeah, I brought up conspiracies just so I can indulge myself. I'm sure it was a subconscious thing, though. But 9/11 truthers versus Iraq war, okay? I want to just toss these numbers out here. People say, the government would never do something as horrible as knocking down these buildings and killing 3,000 people. But at the same time, they say that the government is willing to lie to get us into war in Iraq. And guess how many Americans have died because of that decision? So I don't know if it makes a difference. You know, we're still getting some pretty huge death tolls either way. That didn't make much sense. I'm sorry.
No, but I have a theory that makes sense on the cyberspying. I say that the NSA, that's you, Jimmy Jones, that you guys practice on how to really effectively infect systems with viruses by using the porn industry. Because isn't that the place where you get onto a porn site, you can tell your teenage son has been on a porn site because all of a sudden your computer has a ton of viruses. I think that was the government practicing on the American people.
Well, that's a good thought.
Well, yeah, prove me wrong. Yeah, I just thought that up. Prove me wrong now. The onus is on you, buddy.
Okay. All right, anybody want to log into a porn site while we're on the radio and see what happens?
I was going to say, that's why you Google safe porn sites. Come on now.
You can trust that advertising.
Exactly. Google wouldn't lie to us.
That's right.
See, everything leads back to puppy.
Hey, the whore with a heart of gold, why not? It's just the modern version, right?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Johnny to have a comment on that.
You'd expect.
Yeah, or at least Jim Jones.
Jim. Sorry.
Dion?
No, I don't know. That's the thing about Jim. He just kind of holds back and lets us incriminate ourselves before he. Incriminate.
Incriminate.
That's what
typical.
Well, you have to realize that when you're multitasking, when you have more than one podcast to monitor at the same time, it's a challenge.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been monitoring the little show going on right now called the Academy Awards.
Oh.
The Academy Awards.
Did you see who was on the Academy Awards?
No.
No, we were busy making radio.
Unbelievable.
I want
to
make sure that the terrorist from
North
Carolina doesn't get on there.
I wanted to reach through my screen and strangle the man. One and only Glenn Greenwald was on the Academy Awards.
Who's he?
And he didn't get arrested.
Wait, who is he?
Glenn Greenwald?
Yes,
is,
I don't know who he is.
I did not
get
the okay to arrest Glenn Greenwald live on air in front of 1 billion people. Do you know how sad that makes me feel?
Really?
Do you need a hug? Do you need a hug?
Some help.
Do you get applause? Everybody.
I don't do
plugs. Right?
I don't do hugs anymore with patients. I had to learn that lesson the hard way.
That's right. A little butt grabbing for Sue at the clinic
today. Butt grabbing, a little bit of licking. I've gone through all kinds of hard lessons in life.
And that wasn't me.
For anybody that was watching,
and this is the part of the show where we are most used to using explicit commentary, so feel free to jump in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, the stories I can tell you, boys.
Although, there's no reason for us to hold back in the live segment either, you understand. This is the Internet. We're wide open, Wild West here.
It's the inner tubes, y'all.
That's right.
Do whatever you want. This is the 4chan of radio.
Yeah.
Did I hear the word incriminate?
You did a while back.
Incriminate. Yeah, I use it again.
No,
incriminate.
A synonym for that is 4chan.
Yeah, I thought 4chan was a synonym for young, angry, single, and male. and frequently parents' basement.
For what?
That's V-tards.
V-tards? What are you guys talking about?
Sue is trying to keep up with this.
Let's go back to the
other topic. Glenn Greenwald.
I don't know if you guys brought it up, but there is a free movie that everybody can watch, and I believe it's about Snowden. It's called Citizen 4.
Oh, that's free now?
Yeah, I believe it's free.
Oh, it was in our town in the little theater, and I missed it, sadly.
Well, Google it, Citizen 4, F-O-U-R.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a
film by Laura Portress.
I was past that earlier.
Yeah, the film is by Laura Portress. It looks to be a fabulous piece.
Yeah,
and
she's done a lot of